the last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
I obviously never have reason to be on the M50 on a weekday, but as it happens, last weekend I was between junctions 9 and 11, both on Saturday and Sunday, around about the 3 o'clock mark, and I just couldn't get over just how much traffic was going in both directions at that time of day. We have a congested M50. I think the highest ever reported, this day last year, we had about 187,000 vehicles travelled on the stretches between Junction 6 and Junction 5. We have Aidan Farrelly of the Social Democrats, the spokesperson on transport, Kildare North TD, with us. We also have Professor Brian Caulfield, professor in transportation at Trinity College Dublin. Brian, we have spoken to you about the M50 congestion before. You have been doing research into it. And what sort of findings are you getting now as to what sort of solutions people are putting forward?
So, yeah, we did a study or a survey on the M50, and we had 2,000 users of the M50 respond. And the solutions that people are putting forward mainly centre in around public transport. The majority of people, the option that had the highest preference was that we invest more in public transport to try and alleviate the congestion. The second highest preference option was that we introduce bus-based park and ride at sites around the M50. Those were the two biggest solutions. Then when you go a little bit further from that, the third option was better motorway management to reduce kind of the impacts of collisions that may happen. And then it kind of goes further down. The fourth option was more adjacent roads to, I suppose, alleviate the congestion. And then the options that weren't very popular, one of the options was introducing new tolls on the M50, wasn't very popular. The majority of respondents said they had enough information on the real-time traffic conditions, because I suppose, as you were just saying there, it's always bad. More information is not going to help them.
The various suggestions, though, presumably there would be different timelines on each of them, particularly putting in more public transport trains and stuff, that takes a lot of time. But things like park and ride and buses leaving park and ride stations, how easy would that be to implement? How long would it take?
Well, I suppose it depends on how serious government and policymakers see this as a crisis that's happening on our busiest road. We were able to move mountains during COVID. So if we take it from that perspective, finding and identifying sites for park and ride has been done several times by policy planners and transport planners in the city. So that wouldn't be that difficult to do. And then we have, it's them putting the extra buses that we have that could then alleviate the congestion, get people from those park and ride sites, get them to skip the M50 and get those buses into the city centre. Not saying that they would traverse the M50, but they would go directly into the city centre using the bus network, the bus corridor network.
Okay, Aidan Farrelly, I want to go to you because you're, as I said, TD for Kildare North. How do you get in and out of the Dáil?
Well, it depends. If I know we're going to be in quite late and the last bus will have gone home, I'm driving because we just don't have that adequate bus transport. But I do use it when I know I'll be able to make it.
And how long does a bus take to get in from Kildare to Dublin City Centre?
Big time, you're probably talking about an hour 20, an hour and 30.
Is that a good use of your time, do you think?
No, but the alternative is to spend 2 to 2.5 hours in a journey that without congestion would probably take an hour and 20 in the car. So what we're seeing is so many people are forced to do that. And the 9 to 5 is probably becoming a 6 to 7:30 by the time you leave early to beat the congestion. And then if you can't get out early enough, then you're staying behind in work to wait for that congestion to die down. It has a real ripple effect. And I just thought Professor Caulfield's research was so important. I hope government sits up and reads it, because it is that collective approach that's really, really important. It won't be solved by one issue in itself, i.e. more roads or more capacity on the M50. We're going to need a real hybrid approach. But that park and ride, for example, Matt, we have a situation now where the NTA have told us in the Public Accounts Committee this week that there is a bus park and ride in Fassaro and Wicklow that is substantially complete and lying idle, because the state hasn't backed the public service duty contract for the bus provider to run the route, and that's the 199 in Wicklow. So to be fair, there is some investment, and that's just one site where we have it, but it's empty.
Could you just explain how that would actually work? How many cars could actually park at that site, and then where would the buses go to from there? Would it just be a bus into Dublin city centre, or would it go to various points maybe around the suburbs of Dublin?
Yeah, so that's the thing. It's all about a feeder network, and that's what Bus Connects as an overall system has tried to do, to link up where possible service routes. Because with Professor Caulfield's research that you've seen, over 50% of respondents didn't have a viable alternative but to use the M50 to get from A to B.
Yeah.
So that part, the intention behind those park and ride sites, and we should see them coming right across the M50 network, is to link up communities. So that 199 would then bring you to the next location, and then you can maybe access, because I don't have the details exactly with regards to the spaces in the Fassero site, but the idea that they're being built, that infrastructure is actually being developed, but that we don't see the state supporting the bus route in and of itself, is the issue.
Brian, if you were to have these bus park and ride sites, how many would you actually need on the M50? Would you need one or two almost per junction?
Again, it would depend upon the size. So to give some example, say for example, Metro, when that's constructed, that will have a 3,000 space park and ride at Estrey, just north of the airport. So that's, I suppose, the volume for that. For buses,
sorry, would that be big enough?
For Metro, you would hope so, that that would be big enough, and the planning has been done and the modelling has been done to indicate that. But it's a legitimate concern. If you look at the Lewis park and ride sites, they're constantly full, equally with the Dart. But I suppose one of the things that those transport planners don't want to do is have more and more people driving to one location and then getting on public transport and coming from further distances, that they, I suppose, they want people on public transport from A to B. But 3,000 spaces, I suppose that is a very significant investment for that. In terms of the M50, yeah, it could be 200-300 spaces. Again, analysis needs to be done on it. But as the deputy said, there are park and ride sites that have been planned as part of the Bus Connects network. And those are the ones that should be expedited.
And then how frustrating is it to hear about the example just given to us there by Aidan about Fassero and Wicklow?
And
that it's ready, and yet the order hasn't been given to actually allow for a private bus route to operate out of it.
But there's planning permission for the two Dart lines that go out to the west of the city. They're sitting there waiting to be started. There's planning permission for Finglas Lewis. There's planning permission for Metro. Some of those are in further stages of procurement. But the Dart lines to the west of the city, there's no procurement happening on those that I've seen yet. And those are things that can make a real difference, because it's that side of the region that are coming in using the M50. And if those were initiated, and as you said at the start, they're going to take a long time for them to be initiated, could have a real change. And recently enough, TAI said there are no more engineering solutions that they can put onto the M50. And they're right. They've done everything. They've stretched that as much as they can. And that is cold comfort for anybody that's sitting on the M50 right now.
Okay, listener says, Fassan Row Park and Ride needs a link up to the Lewis. Okay. There's a few people still texting in, Aidan, about the idea of a new outer ring road about 10 to 15 kilometres outside the M50 to fix the true traffic on the M50. Mm-hmm. Now, I know it's well down the list of suggestions from Brian Caulfield's survey, but what do you think about the potential for that? Because that would run through a significant part of your Kildare North constituency.
It would. And when I was preparing for this today, I went looking at a National Roads Authority feasibility study for a Leinster orbital route that was published back in 2009, which essentially would be that it starts in Drogheda, it brings you to Naser, Newbridge via Slane, Navan. That would work, but I think when we look at the pace of delivery for significant capital infrastructure projects in this country, that wouldn't work for a generation of people working in the city centre or trying to commute in the next 10 to 15 years. If we have government, you know, developing policy as per government terms only, it's very short term. I think what transport needs is a slaunch of care approach, a vision that would last and have a legacy longer than
any government term. I hope it'll be introduced faster than slaunch of care.
Yeah, but the policy keeps us focused. So whatever about the implementation, at least we have a common consensus of what it requires, because the evidence is there. It's not working right now. As long as we're building unaffordable housing in Dublin city centre, what you're going to do is bring people even more and more out to these commuter belt areas, but then they cannot access in any sort of efficient or affordable way meaningful employment.
Brian Caulfield, one final one briefly, please. What about better management of traffic flows on the existing M50? How difficult would that be to achieve?
I suppose that's in around incident management. When there are crashes that happen on the M50, that will be, I suppose, ramping up the amount of staff that the TII have out on the road. It's not something that will be really difficult to do. What impact it would have really in the long term, I would say it'd be minimal. And as the traffic on that road is growing, it would negate that small benefit, I would imagine, relatively quickly.
Thank you very much, Professor Brian Caulfield from Trinity College Dublin, and Aidan Farrelly, a Social Democrat spokesperson on transport.
The last word with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.